Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and today is Wednesday, September the 18th. We welcome you to the show. Our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. The opportunity once again to share the ancient Aramaic principles of forgiveness. We're delighted and honored that you're with us, and that we get to share this time as we learn and teach the principles of internal healing and understanding our responsibility in our lives and in our world for what happens both within us and outside of us. The average person in our culture has been taught that everything that's right in their lives is all their responsibility, and everything that's wrong is somebody else's fault, and we call that denial when we talk about somebody else as though they're the cause of something happening inside of us. You know, when we say words like, you made me, that really upset me, it is really a problem, they really made me mad, you frightened me, you hurt me. Ever said that to somebody? You hurt me. You really have a problem. Ever say that to somebody? You really have a problem. I have a question for you. If they're the one with the problem, why are you the one with the pain? Something about that doesn't make sense. Obviously, if they're the one with the problem, they're going to be the one with the pain. And so we're here to support the understanding and the learning that we are creators in our world and what happens within our lives, and that if we don't like what we're feeling, the solution lies in internal work. It lies in going inside and looking for and at the root of the problem, and then forgiving it. Not forgiving each other, not forgiving ourselves, but applying forgiveness to the root of our problems is what changes those things we create repeatedly in our lives. Those who never learn to go inside themselves and change the root of the challenge that they're having get to live the title of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? By the way, you can go to the website. You can download the book in several different languages, free. And if you want to engage in and really tap into the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness, you're welcome to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org, whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a link that says Start Here. That link will take you into a free download of Chapter 24 of my book, the actual forgiveness worksheet process. Fill it in. Here are the blanks. Here's how you do the forgiveness work. And then there are at least 6 radio shows that walk you through the whole forgiveness process. So we invite you to join with us and participate and watch the changes that occur. It's absolutely monumental. And so, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today? Is Michelle with us?
Tim is with us, and he is on. And Michelle is
cool.
With us.
Cool. How do you be, young man?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm in transit right now. We had a stellar mind shifter group last night with another very successful, powerful worksheet. which, as often happens, sent ripples all the way around the group because someone was doing a worksheet on their family of origin, and then it went to mother, and then it went to father. So lots of good emotions, energy moving, some fabulous connections were made, some really good examples of how to formulate the goal that is relevant to the situation described in step one. And there was a really good example of how the punishment thought for this woman was blocking her from being able to formulate a goal, because she kept thinking her punishment thought. That's her goal. My punishment thought is driving the goal, so it kept formulating a very angry, negative goal. And so that was a really good teaching moment for the group. And there were just all kinds of shifts happening. It was just a lovely, lovely evening of healing and sharing, and just a great blessing to be involved in that group.
Fabulous. I love the fact that we teach best that which we most need to learn. I was talking to Rex yesterday, and he was sharing that he missed being in the classroom yesterday with the fact that the prison was not ready for them to arrive. And so he was lamenting the fact that he didn't get to remind himself. And I know that for me personally, when you recognize the magnitude of the past generational influences in our lives, and just how many lives there are back there clamoring for our attention, wanting us to do it their way, and it's pretty monumental when you recognize what it takes to be in charge of your life and to remove what never belonged. So it is a fun thing to teach, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and that cross-generational thing you're mentioning is probably the theme for the day, because it came up three times yesterday and once already this morning, that if I have powerful family patterns that go back even, you know, my grandfather or my great-grandfather, and I'm experiencing something very strong in my life today, it's emotional, or it seems to go against what my logical goals are for myself, chances are it's old stuff that isn't even from my life on this planet yet. The most recent example was a 13-year-old who's having all kinds of problems with violence, and no one can quite figure out why that would be happening. And yet, if you interviewed this 13-year-old's father, you would find out that the 13-year-old's grandfather was assassinated in Iran as a military officer and was the last of a whole series of his friends to be hunted down by the government and assassinated. So he got to go through the year and a half or 2 years of watching his friends get assassinated. And then he was finally assassinated. And that's the father of the 13-year-old who's now having problems with yelling and hitting people. So, it never ceases to amaze me how powerful those cross-generational patterns are, and how once we become tuned into them, the energy starts shifting at a whole different level.
Well, and many people say, well, you know, is that really possible? How could that really happen? Come on now. And if we start to apply from the base of this work an understanding that we are not physical beings, but that we are energetic beings, if we listen to Einstein, who says, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations have been so low as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. So here's Einstein telling us there is no matter. And a fellow named Max Planck is receiving the Nobel Prize in Physics when he says, as a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. Our entire world is made of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields, nested one within another, within another. And that statement, especially from Planck, is just so awesomely powerful. And when you recognize that as an energetic being, everything you engage in your senses is a frequency that you take in and register in every cell, including the sperm and the egg, right down to the genetic level, those patterns are holographically settled in there. And so when a child is conceived, the patterns from both sides of the family are passed to the next generation. In the ancient Aramaic, now the focus on the Greek side of it tends to be on the kind of the negative, where it says the sins of the fathers will be passed, yea, into three and four generations. But that word sin simply meaning it's an archery term. When you miss the mark, when you miss the bullseye, you're off the mark. And that's what the scorekeeper would yell would be sin when you're off the mark. So when they said the sins of the fathers will be passed, they're saying that these energetic patterns, nested frequencies stored holographically in the sperm and the egg, pass it from generation to generation. And then in the future, because this is all energetic work, and we live in an energetic world, if a circumstance or a situation presents itself that resonates those old patterns, such as the young man you're talking about and his challenge with violence, having nested frequencies of violence and assassination within his structure, here he is years, you know, generations later, and that kind of violence occurs, and it resonates those old nested frequencies, creates inclinations, creates feelings, brings forward skills that sometimes are pretty bizarre and insane. And of course, on the other side of the coin, the same applies to the wonderful things. I know that when I decided to leave the business world and go back to school, it was actually about 6 months before I could get into school, and there was a gentleman who owned a large insurance agency. And one of the problems they had in the agency was they had accounts receivable that went back for over a decade, you know, 10 years, and people owing them thousands and thousands of dollars. And with insurance, seeing as how the product was already used or misused, there wasn't much incentive for people to pay, you know, a 10-year-old bill that was outstanding. Yeah, they had the insurance, but hey, it's long gone and I got no use for it. Why would I pay for that? And so this is a fellow who carried my insurance in one of the businesses. He said, Michael, seeing as how you're going to school, how about you come and would you do some work on this? I know you're just going to kind of hang out for the next 6 months. And I'll give you 50% of whatever you collect. And I said, well, you know, I'll give it a try. It's not something I've ever done before, but I can give it a shot. And it turned out that I collected almost everything they had on their books that was 10 years old, 9 years old, 8, 7, 6. I mean, collected money that they never imagined they'd ever see again. And it was about a year later after having done that, and it just seemed like such a natural thing to do. And in collecting that money from people, there was not one enemy in the game. Every person that I went to see and talk about what was going on and, you know, how can we handle this, I left as friends. In fact, this was right back when Roots was coming out, and I had this thought that, you know, it would be so cool to watch Roots with the Black family. And the day Roots was on, I was calling on a family, a farm just outside of Nashville, and collecting some money, and it was a Black family. And we ended up kibitzing and having fun, and, you know, we talked about Roots, and they said, well, hey, why don't you stay for dinner and watch Roots with us, which was just an awesome invitation. It was fun because the show that came on before Roots was, what's his name, the bigot. Say it again, sweetie, your mute button's on.
Archie Bunker.
So I sat with his Black family, who were awesome people, and watched Archie Bunker and then the first edition of Roots. Now, I collected money that was outstanding from these people for years, set up a way for them to handle it that worked for them and worked for the company. And even today, if I had contact information for them and I was going through Nashville, I'd feel comfortable calling them and saying, hey, how you doing? I'm just on my way through there. I'd love to stop by and say hello. That's the way we left it. And that's how I left it with most people that I worked with. Well, come to find out, about a year later, my mother was driving from Canada to South Florida to do her summer, you know, she had a winter home, pardon me, in Florida. So I flew up to Canada to drive down with her so she didn't have to do it alone. And, of course, we got a chance to do a lot of talking. And I told her about this, and she said, well, of course you could do that. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, your grandfather, our hometown, Hamilton, Ontario, there was a large department store, and my grandfather was the bill collector, was the collector. And everybody in town just loved him. He was not, you know, a collector who went and pounded on people. He was friends with everybody, and the whole thing that my mom described that he was known for in our hometown was exactly what so naturally came to me. And so we get the wonderful stuff, too, and when we recognize that we're getting the destructive aspect of things, there's this, of course, awesome tool called forgiveness. It's a way to go inside and remove those nested frequencies. Of course, the Greek world has taught us that forgiveness is about letting somebody else off the hook because those painful nested frequencies are there. I want to blame my spouse, my child, my neighbor, my friend, my enemy. I want to blame somebody else. Whereas if I recognize that these nested frequencies are in me, and because they're in me, I will draw myself, resonate myself into circumstances that will bring them up. And when they come up, I have one of two choices. I can either live unconsciously out of those patterns, or I can own them and change them. It's called forgiveness. What an awesome concept. Whoever told us that forgiveness was about removing content from your mind? How's that fit with your experience with your life and with the work and with people? You still with us, Dr. Tim?
Yeah, sorry, I was muted. Yeah, that's
I know
right
how
on.
That goes.
It's right on, and it's one of the best things. Unfortunately, you know, for some of us, the fear and the upset about having to deal with the not so good parts is enough of a block that we won't let ourselves live in and enjoy the good stuff. But it's that, you know, that magnificent sword that cuts both ways. And if we can just, you know, ease into it, breathe into it, soften it for the not-so-good stuff, then we can, as you did in this example, just revel in and relish the good stuff and use it all the more.
Absolutely. And, you know, that statement that informs us about how this part of the energy system works from the ancient scriptures, where it says, the sins of the fathers would pass the end to three and four generations. The statement that follows that really adds such a dimension in understanding the healing process, because it then says, will be passed to three and four generations, yea, of those who hate me. And so here we have the Creator telling us, here's how the system works, folks. If you can't access me, and that word hate in Aramaic is not hate as in a love-hate relationship, but rather those who are separated from me. If you're separated from the active presence of love, if you're separated from your true human nature, then what you're going to be stuck with is the generational patterns, and you're not going to be able to step outside of them. They're going to control you. Anybody ever found yourself saying, thinking, feeling, doing things that you say, I never want to do this again, I'm never going to do this again, and then finding yourself right back there in the same boat? Until you develop a direct experiential relationship with love, that's what's going to run your life, is those generational patterns. And if you want to change those, they are all absolutely changeable. And that's what the forgiveness technology is about.
Well, and of course, if you have access to everything you're meant to have, and you're not blocking it off, then life becomes a lot easier, because it really is
you know, things really do happen for a reason. There is really a system, even though it's far beyond my conscious ability to understand. Things end up working out, and so often working out in ways that I had no idea they could ever possibly work out. And at the root of that is my ability to be able to accept the not-so-good stuff that I'm inheriting energetically, as well as the fabulous stuff. So, yeah, I'm often thrilled when people will step back and say, all right, it's okay if I'm getting to be more and more like my parents every day, even though I hated this part of what they did or I didn't like that part of what they did. But I also get the good stuff. And then, you know, being around when people choose to step into their full power as creative beings is just awesome.
Yep, for sure. For sure, for sure. And it is the circumstances that are drawn to us by whatever we hold within us that, of course, give us that opportunity to heal, that opportunity to look at those nested frequencies. And it's interesting that the solution to the dilemma has been made by the world, the biggest enemy, in fact, has been made illegal in many official circles in the world. If you recognize the ancient teachings told us that the Creator is love, and when we are separated from the Creator, that is love, when we don't have a direct physiological experience of what we're designed for, and if you want to figure out what we're designed for, just hold a newborn child. If you diss that, if you push that away, then the active presence of love, which is what will dissolve the pain, the trauma, the nested frequencies that never belong, is not available to you. And you'll notice we live in a culture that it's illegal to talk about in many circles. You know, you look at this judge back a couple of years ago who wanted the Ten Commandments on the wall of his chambers, and the so-called lawmakers said that's against the law. And, you know, in schools, you can force a child to learn and think like, integrate everything Hitler did, Mussolini did, Genghis Khan, all of the most horrific so-called historical figures and what they did and how they thought and what their atrocities were. You can force a child to memorize those things and fail them if they don't. But you can't talk about the solution. And the solution is in the Aramaic teachings of Yeshua in forgiveness, harmonizing, coming back into relationship with the active presence of love. And there's nothing religious about that, but it's interesting how that's been made religious and therefore unacceptable in so many circles. We just finished, we had set up a workshop series to do in Norway, and the people who were setting it up really, you know, looked at a couple of things on the website and liked it, loved it, this is great, and we were just getting ready to confirm our flights, and we get an email from them, and they had watched the Sunday service that I did at Unity Church in Hawaii, it's on our website. And they wrote us back and it's like, you know, well, our people are new age. They're not really interested in Jesus, so forget it. You're not coming here. And it's like, how bizarre it is that the solution has been thrown out of so many circles in the world. It's really, really strange. And when we truly begin to function, when we truly begin to act as the presence of love in our lives and bring that presence forward where people are hurting, where people are in trauma, we start seeing those people heal and get free of the trauma that they're carrying. And so many people have such guards against that, that when they're asked to be responsible, when they're asked to look responsibly at what's going on inside of them, They go into denial. They go into excuses. They've got excuses for themselves. They've got excuses for everybody. Well, why? No, that couldn't be true. No, that's not true about me. That's somebody else. And then go running off in separation because they don't want to look. They don't want to deal with themselves. It's amazing. So, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or that we should be aware of, or anybody in the phone queue that's got a hand up?
Michael, hey, it's Michelle.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thanks. I've slid in here a little after one, but glad to be back. Feels like a real missing in my week when I can't be present to the show live.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, so actually, Dora's on the phone waiting, so she's been there a minute. Why don't we start with her?
Hello, Michael.
Cool, Dora, welcome. It's World Peace Wednesday.
Yes, yes. Our to become unstuck for the humankind to become unstuck Wednesday.
Yes.
I keep working on becoming unstuck with the different topics and it, there's been a pattern which has been interesting because it's with the weight and sugar, which has been just a theme in my life, and it's brought me to a deeper level of understanding, and so now it's a spiritual issue. So I think in listening to one of the shows a couple of weeks ago where nutrition is so important, it kind of, you know, just clicked. That I've been numbing myself with the sugar, and it's all just so I don't want to see who I spiritually am. So that's my new insight for this week.
Well, that'll get you unstuck. You let go of that sugar, and it's, you know, the atomic structure of sugar is almost identical to heroin. And according to at least some research, it's more addictive than cocaine. So. Good for you, woman.
Yes, well, now I just have to, you know, release all those. I mean, I do pretty well with eliminating certain things, like, you know, there's eliminated sodas for years ago, and so each time I'm just trying to eliminate something else. So, but that's where I'm at now. And if you'll let Jeannie know, Angela did receive the book, so that was good.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
And, oh, is she there? Hi, Jeannie. And,
hey, how are you doing?
Hey, hi, okay. I'll take care of that when I see you all in a couple of weeks. But, yes, so that's where I'm at today. And I hope you both are doing well.
Cool, we are doing well. I understand that you're going to join Jeannie at the Healing Women or Women Healing Women Retreat in November. That's cool.
Yes, yes. I've blocked my time off of work, so I'll be there. Looking forward to that.
Fabulous. Well, you'll get to meet Michelle. She's going to be there, too.
Oh, good. Good. I'll look forward to that. Okay.
Well, anything else to share with us?
No, no. That's all for today. I'll check back in on next Wednesday, but I had to click off and get back to work. So it really has been a pleasure taking the time that I can from work and listening to this the talk show you have from 1 to 2. I really enjoyed it very much so. Okay. So
cool.
I will talk to you
all. And it was Doris.
I'm
just
sorry?
To reinforce, it was your idea who called in, and having noticed how many people were stuck, that we start opening the space to every Wednesday to work on getting ourselves personally unstuck and open the space for the world to get unstuck from what it's been locked into.
Most definitely. Thank you for doing that. Okay. You all take care.
Glad to be on the team.
To
all right. Have a blessed one.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Lots of love.
Actually, listening to what Dora said was pretty relevant to me, Michael.
Tell us about it.
Well, as far as body weight goes, I've often struggled throughout my life with carrying extra weight. And I always believe it's not what you eat, but what's eating you. And so slowly but surely, I've been moving towards a more normal weight. And I should mention that I have maintained a 100% raw diet since leaving Heartland. And so that's coming here on 2 months. And recently, I dropped to a point on the scale where I am now 100 pounds less than what I was 10 years ago. And so that I think isn't so much as like my diet as much as it is the inner work that has come and then kind of accelerated over the summer since beginning worksheets and Mind Shifters group, and certainly the intensive took it to another level.
Well, congratulations. That's an awesome accomplishment.
Thanks. I just think it's one of those, your outer reflects your inner. And so that's what it means for me, at least. I'm actually
I'd agree with you right on.
Yeah, I'm experiencing quite a few blessings myself. I guess I feel it's like all that hard work is beginning to manifest in form. And one
share
of the
a way that it's manifesting.
Okay, so one of the most favorite things over the summer months during the intensive is when you shared the chapter 20 about, and it's chapter 20, I guess, section 4, however the course is labeled, but it's titled Entering the Ark. And basically the gist is, once you accept his plan as the one function that you would fulfill, there will be nothing else the Holy Spirit will not arrange for you without your effort. He will go before you, making straight your path and leaving in your way no stones to trip on and no obstacles to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you, not one seeming difficulty, but will melt away before you reach it. You need take nothing, thought for nothing, careless of everything, except the only purpose that you would fulfill. As that was given you, so will its fulfillment be. God's guarantee will hold against all obstacles, for it rests on certainty and not contingency. It rests on you. And what can be more certain than a son of God? So when...
We're daughter of God.
Daughter. So, yes. Daughter of Ruka Dukucha. So... that was just so poignant and so meaningful to me, and then really took kind of synthesized, I think, that, you know, some of my internal motivation about pursuing this path, and that somewhere knowing that I was a creator and being able to have a purpose that I could fill with joy and ease, and really, for me, it kind of looks like healing through my clinical work. So that was pretty helpful to me as far as just something synthesized in terms of better understanding, like some context for the forgiveness work. And while I was in Heartland, I was having a lot of problems with my current clinical supervisor and the practices in the office and the billing and such, and it kind of was escalating to a point, and created lots of opportunity to do worksheets, that's for sure. And I think as I moved through it and my vibration was changing, there really became apparent there wasn't that resonance anymore in my current situation. And so I made a telephone call to handle some billing things, which led to some information and a telephone call. And, you know, within 48 hours, I had a completely new opportunity for myself a mile up the road, kind of eliminating every concern, every problem, every issue just in one fell swoop. And so I've been working on that for the last couple of weeks since I've been home. And yesterday I signed a contract to begin with this new doctor and this new clinician and a new practice and be able to build it from the ground up. with you know, my energy, so to speak.
Congratulations. That sounds like another big change of mind, and that, you know, one of the most difficult aspects of this work, and you can go all the way back to Paul, who talks about be transformed by the renewal of your mind, is to let go of the story and actually have your mind renewed. And as it is, as your whole frequency shifts and changes, and it's really hard to change your frequency if you're hanging out with your old stories, because that's all frequency, and the more people tell their stories, the more they create out of it. When they're willing to drop that and really tap into a new identity that integrates the truth of human life, energetically, of course, everything around you has to shift. So it sounds like almost an instant manifestation for you. I remember the day that you were talking about it in the classroom as an issue, and that afternoon, there was the shift, there was the change, and now it's totally manifest in just a couple of weeks. So nice work. Congratulations.
Thank you, Michael. So here's the irony that really, I think spirit sometimes has a great sense of humor, because I have, you know, some anxiety about getting into a new situation and a lot of unknowns, and so I've got some close people coaching me through that. But the best or the funny part is the name of this new practice, this new group, is called Assessment Relationship Center. So there's an acronym we go by. ARC.
ARC?
Yes, that's right, Jeannie. I'm entering the ARC. Assessment Relationship
awesome.
Center. So I was
very
like,
cool.
I loved it. So anyways, that's my good news today, and that's why I've been running around you know, doing business meetings and handling stuff and buying furniture and all kinds of good things to embark on this new chapter of practice.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I hope my supervisor isn't listening on the radio. Probably not likely.
All right. Well, how about the chat room? Do we have anybody in the chat room or any hands up with a question in the phone queue?
Jeannie's going to have to answer about the chat room. I kind of
okay.
got bumped
no,
into that.
There's a few people in the chat room. Peter's actually in there, but nobody's really talking or anything. So we're just waiting. There's one person has their hand up on the switchboard, though. Oh, they just disappeared. So nobody has their hand up right now. So if someone presses 1, you're next in queue.
And Peter, we say hello and we send our love. We look forward to seeing you in just a couple of weeks. And it's interesting how things are shifting around over there. We just got an email yesterday afternoon. The minute, right literally about the minute that the folks in Norway, who all of a sudden realized they weren't interested in Jesus, not realizing that we're not there to promote Jesus, but rather the core teaching that he had on forgiveness as opposed to a religious idea. It's just like, here's how it works. Here's how you change what happens in your life. I got an email from a woman in Denmark, a medical doctor actually in Denmark, whose grandfather was the physicist Niels Bohr. And she has tapped into worksheets and is very excited about the work. And it looks like probably we're going to end up making a trip to Copenhagen to do a day or two of workshops there. We're just communicating with her. So that kind of popped in at the last minute. So we'll see how it all unfolds. But, and, of course, we've got time, Peter, if you want to just tap into your Skype and give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
And we do have 2 hands up now in the chat, in the switchboard.
Let's say hello.
First one is 910. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Yeah. Yes, this is Patsy from Wilmington, North Carolina. And
welcome.
Thank you. I am interested in hearing an elaboration on just the concept of prayer. It seems like from the traditions, faith tradition that I come from originally, that it is like, you know, kind of a like telling God what to do kind of. And I think that maybe there is another way to think about this. And so I'd just like elaboration on that concept, and I'll take it off the air.
Cool. Well, thank you for that question, Patsy. It's certainly an excellent one. And in the Aramaic language, in the Greek language, we're taught that prayer is about, you know, putting your order into the cosmic gift catalog. But in the Aramaic, it's quite a different idea, quite a different concept. In fact, you hear Yeshua saying, don't prattle and be known for your much speaking. So, you know, so you can tell God what to do. But in that language, the word prayer, and I can remember as a kid being told, you know, there'll be a time when your whole life will become a prayer. And, you know, I had been taught that prayer was down your hands and knees supplicating God. And all I could imagine out of my whole life becoming a prayer was square knees. When you get to the Aramaic, what you find is that prayer means to set a trap for God. And in the same way that your television antenna traps channel 2, if it's aligned properly and you get a good strong signal and sound, your design, your human physiology, it is the pinnacle on the planet of an instrument to express the active presence of love in the world, if we choose to go in that direction. And it is the most natural direction for us to go. If you hold a newborn child, of course, you have experienced prayer. You've experienced the active presence of love. And what does the world do to that newborn? They distract them and teach them not to pray, not to be the active presence of love, but to live in the real world where you've got to have hostility and there are things to be terrified of, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Never realizing that all the while that the child was being torn out of prayer, being torn out of being the active space of the literal love of God in the world, that they were teaching the child to support and maintain the creative process of the unconscious mind and maintaining the insanity in the world. And everybody who comes who believes in the fear and the terror and the trauma is a co-creator of the fear, the terror, and the trauma, and the reasons for believing that it's true. And so when we truly return to a life of prayer, when we truly forgive everything we've been brainwashed in that's been based in hostility or fear, then we get to experience life in a totally different way. We get to experience life as the active presence of love, as we were designed to experience it. And it just becomes a whole different game than ordering God around and telling God what God should be doing. Whole different process. So we're here to support people in really, truly living in prayer, and not the Greek sense of it, but rather the Aramaic. Be the active space of love in the world, and awesome things happen in your world. Does that make sense for you?
It does. It does. And I think that, for example, I saw a marquee about the prayer warriors, et cetera, et cetera. And in some of the Bible Belt culture, it is that if we do enough, you know, demanding and God, you just do this and this and this. And the more I see another way, this just seems just not where I want to be in that kind of prayer, and moving more toward being a life of prayer.
Well, I certainly join you in that. And of course, when one focuses on the terrible things in the world and says, God, you need to really fix this, they unconsciously are supporting energetically and creating the insanity that's happening in the world. When we shift our mind back, and when they talked in the ancient teachings about repentance, the word repent, reponse, means to turn another way, to turn toward the active presence of love, engage and embody that, forgive everything that's less than that in you, and watch how all the dynamics of your life change. That's what's going to happen. Most people are so focused on their emotionally charged, painful stories that they can't stop for even a minute thinking about those things, and they wonder why they can't get free of them. And the forgiveness process is about literally collapsing the mind's ability to stay focused in the hostility and fear-based realities. Are they there? Do they happen? Absolutely. Nobody's going to pretend that they don't. But when we function truly as human beings, all of that is changeable. All of that is removable. And so that's what we're looking to do, is to support people being able to remove that which keeps them focused in the unreal world of hostility or fear and takes them back to the real world of human life, the active presence of love. And so it's about the restoration of human life and the conversion of the hostility and fear-based mind back to a love-based mind where we were originally designed to function. So that's what we're here to support you in, and we're delighted you had the question for us. Thank you.
Thank you for the elaboration.
All right, you have a wondrous, blessed day. Bye-bye. So, Jeannie, anything else happening in the chat room? Michelle, anybody else with a hand up in the phone queue?
We do have two people with their hand up, and one of them is a Skype caller, so I'm not sure if that's Peter or not, because he said he was going to have to leave and go pick up his son. So, Skype caller, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Is that me?
It is you.
That's you. You're on.
Hello. Now, is this Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie Rice?
You've got Michael and Jeannie, and Michelle's with us. And who are we talking to? Where are you calling from?
This is my first time, and I apologize for my number not showing up. It has something to do with my phone. I'm actually on my phone.
That's okay.
I'm one of your colleagues in having a show on Blog Talk Radio myself, and this is my first time to call into any show, so as an individual. And I was wondering, I saw your book, and I'm also an author, but I see it says the Self-Esteem Prophecy on the front, but I can't read it off of my computer, you know, the picture that you have. And I was wondering, how do you, I love the Ozarks, by the way. I grew up in Monroe, Louisiana, near there in Louisiana, and I now live in Kentucky, so I love, you know, this area. But how do we, you, your group, my group, all these groups of people that we're working with Blog Talk, help each other with this thing called spirituality? And I love the Self-Esteem Prophecy, and I saw it on the front of your book, and it caught my eye. So I thought, let me see what they're about, because I love the Ozarks, and I see what you're doing with people. You have a self-healing center. So could you just sort of give me an idea? How do you connect with that Self-Esteem Prophecy and your healing center so I could be able to, like, more connect synergistically with you guys?
Sure, sure. Well, if you look in the front of Self-Esteem Prophecy, you'll see where Jim Redfield acknowledges me and why is this happening to me again. Jim is a friend of mine, and he was actually studying with me as he was writing Self-Esteem Prophecy. And in part, the Aramaic concept, you know, he's talking about Aramaic manuscript, comes from the Aramaic work that we've been doing. And actually, the first case of books off the press, when Jim first self-published Self-Esteem Prophecy, he came to Pensacola, Florida, with that case of books and sold most of them to people who were in our workshop. So that was kind of the starting point. We helped to kick off Self-Esteem Prophecy. And then a short time later, Warner Books saw, we did a mailing actually to our mailing list all around the country and the globe, and all of a sudden Warner Books saw all these Self-Esteem Prophecy books flying off the shelf all over the country and jumped in, and it actually became the second best-selling book in the world in 1995. So,
amazing.
So that's how we became involved with Jim, and actually Jim's editor.
Your picture looks familiar to me. Do you have people that's just amazing to me that you, but your picture looks familiar. And I'm like, you know how the universe, the spirituality or the universe works out there when we just are part of it. But I'm like, why this person? Why now? And you and your wife's picture both of you look familiar, but yet you've never crossed my spiritual path. And so that you understand now why I chose that, the connection to that Celestine Prophet. Of course, I love that book. And I this is an amazing story. So I've never heard that you guys, and you had a list that was behind all that, unless you understand. I mean, there's a lot of things out there we don't know the connection, the synergistically spiritual connection. And that's what I'm trying to do more of, is get all of us that work, I don't know what you'd want to say, what do you call this energy? Because you're listed on spirituality, right, in under Blog Talk. That's you know, where I'm, what I'm saying, that's your category is spirituality.
Right. Well, we actually synthesize a number of different disciplines, and I wouldn't want to pretend that we were behind what happened with Jim's book. We were just a part of it. Jim really put it out there and, you know, put it together right and did it right, and that's why it was such a huge success.
Oh, I understand
and
that, yeah.
We actually integrate from the Aramaic a number of different disciplines. My background originally is in electronics with a side study in physics, and then being a naturopathic physician, the whole energy system theory just fit and came together, understanding the mind-body interaction, and then I had the blessing of coming across the Aramaic teachings of Yeshua from 2,000 years ago. I'm actually the director of a foundation that's translating a copy of the oldest known New Testament in its original Aramaic language. And my take on the Aramaic is that the Aramaic is not a theological language, it's not a religious language, it's a physics language, it's a psychological language, it's a genetic language. It just explains how it all works. So while we're, for the sake of having somewhere to be built, we're built under spirituality, it's really bringing the spirituality down into the realm of spiritual psychology. If you go back to the Aramaic, what Yeshua understood about how the mind works is monumental. There's no understanding that even carries a shadow to it, as far as I know or understand, on the planet. And so we're looking to reintegrate and reestablish the original meanings of his Aramaic words, and then to bring forward the tools that he taught, the how-to, because it wasn't just a nice philosophy, it was a how-to. You know, one of my favorite pieces from the Aramaic is the Beatitudes. And maybe you could hit your mute button, it's a little bit noisy once in a while. And so there's a copy of the Aramaic Beatitudes on our website, you can take a look at them. And it wasn't until I personally, you know, for me, my insight came after I'd written them out longhand three different times. I just went back to it and was guided to write it. And on the third time, looking at the Aramaic Beatitudes, all of a sudden what clicked in my brain was, this is an instruction set. It's not just a nice philosophy. It's how to activate literally a neural structure so that this neural structure that guides you to happiness and well-being becomes the root of the output of your mind, rather than the neural structures that have been implanted by the world through hostility and fear. And so what we're looking to do is to reestablish the how-to and take that and make it available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And as a result of that, Jeannie and I travel 6 to 10 months of the year. We're actually going to be heading out of here in just a day or so. We're aiming for tomorrow. I'm not sure yet how we're going to do that, but we're working on it. And In just a matter of a week or so, we fly to Europe and we'll be gone for about 6 weeks. And thank you, Dr. Tim and Michelle, for being willing to support us by handling the show when we're not available to do it. And, you know, we basically just take the principles anywhere on the planet that we're invited. We teach free and we invite people to engage in the work and create support groups and just move forward with it.
That's wonderful. Well, yeah, I'd like to be a part of that. Well, my name is Teresa Morris. And it's facebook.com/Teresa Morris. If you want to just know that, I'll put that out to you. And, yes, I have several groups. And, you know, a lot of people can't travel like they used to in America due to, you know, the crunch we've got with gas and all that. And I'm looking to do more regional type of organization type of seminars. So I've got etseminars.com. And since you said, yeah, of course, you've got a book, and I work with authors and speakers. And I would love to somehow give you a call on all that and see what we can do about getting some groups together or get you involved in some of our groups. Now, will you be doing the Galaxy Expo or the Universal Expo? One's in Nashville and one's in Columbus, Ohio. If not, you can look at
not planning on doing either of those, no.
Okay. So basically you've just got so much time on earth and you're going around and teaching this concept of the neural network as explained in Aramaic and the way you understand it, and then people connect to you and you're able to just share this energy. Now, this Aramaic that you're saying, you said this is, where did you get what you're translating? It's, you know what I'm saying? What exactly? Are you using the New Testament?
The manuscript that we're using is called the Kabbalist manuscript. You can go to our website and look at the whole thing. There are 515 pages. We've got low-res pictures of them all on the site. There's quite a bit of information about the Kabbalists. I also publish a book called Enlightenment from the Kabbalists, which is what's been translated and published so far and includes a sampling of some New Testament translation work. And key words are left in Aramaic in brackets, and in the back of the book there's a first-century dictionary. So you can go back and look at what the first-century mind was thinking when it wrote those words. The book has actually been out of print for several months now, and we're just finishing off some editing and getting ready to reprint it. So that'll be out hopefully within the next few weeks, and that's part of our travels is going to be to finish off doing some writing in that regard and several other projects that we're working on with writing. And, you know, basically we travel wherever we're invited. Our workshops are free. We pay our own expenses, and we just put it out there and make it available as far and as wide as we can.
Absolutely amazing. Well, I really appreciate both of you and the work you're doing. I'm excited to see where do I go? Where's your website? Is it whyagain.com? Is that your website?
Actually, whyagain.org. Our original site was whyagain.com, but we've shifted over to whyagain.org. The whyagain.com is still operational, but if you go there, you'll see a big green arrow that says click here, and it'll take you over to whyagain.org. We don't update the .com site anymore. So.
Yeah, the .com wouldn't even let me go to it on my browser. I use Google Chrome. But now when you tell me whyagain.org, but have whoever fixed your website put that whyagain.org for people like, you know, us that, I mean, I run one of these blog talk pictures too, but our splash pages, I don't even know what they call it. But yours is whyagain.com, so you may want to have them do that in case people aren't brave enough to call in and talk to you. And, you know, like they're just skimming through blog talk, which was what I was doing,
right,
and found you guys. But you know what? I'm just amazed at your work, and I'm so happy that you're embodying this type of work. And thank you so much for taking my call. This was a first for me, and I love your pictures, your work, and I can't wait to do some research on who you are and what you're doing. Maybe
awesome.
Later on we can have you come on our radio show and talk to people.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
So thank
you.
We'd
love to do it.
Much.
And what we'd invite you to do is to jump on whyagain.org. In the upper left-hand corner, there's a link that says Start Here. If you click that link, it'll take you to the worksheet. There are half a dozen or so radio shows where we walk somebody through the whole thing. That's the most important aspect of our work. And we are just about out of time, so I'm going to say thank you all for your participation. Have an awesome day. Bring somebody to the show tomorrow and create the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. www.mindshiftersradio.com.
Evolving continuously.